You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Wednesday, July 23rd. Following a tragic hit-and-run accident on a tricky and dangerous road in Astoria in June, there are growing cries for city leaders to make some changes. On Tuesday, the Astoria Planning Commission, acting as the Traffic Safety Advisory Committee, promised to follow up with staff on ways to make areas along Irving Avenue safer. For committee member Mike Francis, the issue was personal. He was friends with Patricia Harrison, the woman who was struck and killed near 16th and Irving on June 1st. He said Irving Street has long had a bad reputation.
I mean, we know this, and I appreciate that the city's done a lot of studies, and I just think our bias needs to be toward real action this time.
He and others have suggested installing mirrors at intersections along Irving Avenue, places like 16th Street and 17th Street, where the steep grade of the hill can make it difficult to see other drivers. Another proposal is for flashing lights that people can activate at crosswalks. In the days after Harrison was hit, a petition circulated online calling for enhanced pedestrian and motorist safety measures on Irving Avenue. As of this week, it has gained more than 400 signatures. The man who allegedly hit and killed Harrison, Michael Munson Smith, faces charges of second-degree manslaughter and driving while under the influence of intoxicants, among other charges. Astoria Police Chief Stacy Kelly said he expects a pending toxicology report will show that other substances were at play as well.
And there's only one thing that could have prevented this, and that was him choosing not to get behind the wheel that day.
Public Works Director Jeff Harrington said that after any accident, especially one involving a pedestrian, the city does a site review to look at any changes they should make on city streets. That review is still underway for the Irving Street incident.
The following stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Major street repairs in Ilwaco have been postponed until next year, after all of the construction bids for the planned project came in well above the city's expectations. The project would bring pavement improvements to about 5 miles of Ilwaco city streets, many of which are in conditions far worse than the statewide average. Most of the cost is slated to be covered by a Washington Transportation Improvement Board grant program. But at a recent meeting, the Ilwaco City Council officially rejected all three proposals the city received for the expansive project. Each of the bids far exceeded the $1.3 million estimate that had been calculated by the city's engineering firm, Gray and Osborne. Ilwaco City Administrator Holly Beller says while the delay until next year is disappointing, it will give the city the opportunity to get the best possible results from the project. A Washington Fish and Wildlife officer, along with Washington State Park Rangers, recently found three people unlawfully taking undersized and female crab at Beards Hollow in Cape Disappointment State Park. When questioned, the suspects denied having caught any crab, but the Fish and Wildlife officer had already observed the crab hidden in containers in the grass that witnesses had initially reported. In total, the three suspects had harvested 99 undersized crab, and one of the persons did not have a fishing license. They received multiple violations, including for unlawful recreation fishing in the first degree. Most of the crab were able to be returned to the water alive. Long Beach area harvesters may retain only 6 males, and each crab must measure 6 inches at a minimum. It is unlawful to keep any female or undersized crab. A U.S. Navy landing craft will practice emergency response in Seaview, Washington, early next month. The exercise will be a trial run for how the Navy can help survivors of a Cascadia subduction zone earthquake and series of tsunamis. Landing craft air cushions are vessels capable of carrying 70-ton payloads from larger support vessels that anchor near the shore. The landing craft will first land at Seaview around 8:15 a.m. on Wednesday, August 6th, at the Seaview Beach Approach. The public is welcome to view the demonstration, which will end around noon that day. Pacific County Emergency Management Agency Director Scott McDougall says in the event of a catastrophic disaster, the area is likely to be completely isolated from the I-5 corridor. McDougall's agency has been partnering with the State Emergency Management Division and with the Navy Third Fleet to develop plans for ship-to-shore relief efforts. Pacific County's Public Utility District says it has completed its broadband construction build on the east side of Willapa Bay. The project was designed to bring high-speed fiber broadband internet access to unserved and underserved areas between Bone River and Lynn Point along Highway 101. That includes the communities of Wilson Point, Bay Center, and Nema. Funding for the project came through a state grant awarded in 2021. The grant does not mandate owners to take service, but it ensures that fiber infrastructure is available for each home. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. In downtown Wheeler, construction is set to begin soon on a half-mile portion of the Salmonberry Trail project. As envisioned, the Salmonberry Trail will run 82 miles from Banks to the Oregon coast via the disused Port of Tillamook Bay Railroad line. Work is already underway on a section of the trail in Washington County between Manning and Stubbs Stewart State Park. The Wheeler project is the first to begin on the coast and is set to be completed before the end of the year. Wheeler Mayor Denise Donahue says the planned trail will be transformative for the city, bringing a more vibrant, walkable, welcoming future. Construction of Wheeler's Trail will begin with the segment from the Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad Station in downtown to Botts Marsh, just north of the city. The trail will run adjacent to the rail line on the bayside with a gravel surface and eventually be extended to the south end of town. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Read more online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. A new federal student aid program could become a major player in Oregon's efforts to close its critical workforce gaps. OPB's Tiffany Kamhai has more on the Workforce Pell Grant.
This new grant expands the scope of federal financial aid to cover short-term career-based certificate and credential programs. Andrew McGough leads Work Systems, the local workforce development board for Multnomah and Washington counties. He says the federal aid could help more Oregonians who've been out of work re-enter the job market.
We're seeing that these sort of shorter-term, very occupationally focused programs are programs of choice. They're cost-effective, they're time-effective, and they work really well.
McGough says it'll also help industries with workforce shortages, like healthcare or construction, fill jobs with credentialed workers in months rather than years. I'm Tiffany Kamhai, reporting.
Today's weather in the lower Columbia River region, mostly cloudy through the mid-morning, then gradually clearing, with highs near 70 on the coast, highs closer to 80 more inland. Tonight, increasing clouds with lows in the mid-50s.
You're listening to news from KMUN, with local and regional news produced by your community radio station, KMUN 91.9 FM. For even more news, visit kmun.org/news. You can also send news tips and story ideas to news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.